May the Lord help us to commence our service with hymn 1060. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod, for now not without hope I mourn. There is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. Hymn 1060.
And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over, at night the dark and hairy garments, and they called his name Esau. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Esau, Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. But thus Esau despised his birthright. So, may the Lord help us in prayer before him. The Lord, do be drawing near to sinners. What can we say, Lord? We have to seek hard unto thee, and it's thy mercy we need. We have to come, Lord, seeking. Now remember us with thy people. We might be numbered with them now and through eternity. We seek, Lord, that thou art come now, and be pleased, Lord, to grant us some sweet tokens of thy love, thy presence may be known, and oh, that there might be a little sweetness in that name of Jesus, oh, that we may be able to plead it, and seek, Lord, that thou art come where we are. Remember each one we tenderly bear before thee. We seek now, Lord, that thou art be mindful of us, pleading that worthy name. We would be coming, Lord, without any merit of our own. Oh, that cannot be. We cannot come but seeking hard unto thee, Lord, for thy sweet mercy, and that thou art grant us, Lord, some sweet knowledge of the Saviour. We want to feel the Lord drawing near. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. We want to know, Lord, that some exchange our unworthiness for the sweetest merits of Christ Jesus. Our utter impoverishments and unworthiness to be swallowed up by the sweet name, person, blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we're utterly unworthy. We are not anything worth at all. And we do believe in some way we can say that, Lord, by experience. But then we need to be kept. Oh, Lord, we are so poor and needy that we need thee, Lord, to keep renewing to us that sweet grace and that love of God. Oh, may we know it this evening. May the Lord be pleased to come with the Father's sweet love, that his approbation upon sinners through the sweet merits of his Son, he would lay hold on the Lord Jesus by faith. But we need the Father indeed to help us in such a matter, that we may be clothed with righteousness, and we might be found amongst those that are known eternally. We need true doctrine, and pray, Lord, that we may be among those able to say we've found him. Lord, we pray that thou forgive our every sin. Oh, we do need thee, Lord, to come, because we want to be right for eternity, and we're not thinking, Lord, that we can merit anything, but we need a righteousness divine. And we pray, Lord, that thou bless the dear friends with each one. Most tenderly we pray for the afflicted. We bring them unto Jesus. What a privilege. We pray that thou be pleased, Lord, to sustain and help them. Remember my sister in the faith and my dear brother in the diaconate. We pray, Lord, that thou remember him and remember each one. We gather them up, Lord, with ourselves as poor, needy sinners, praying, Lord, that thou come and show us yon lovely man and spread those sweet glories, Lord, of the atonement and the blessing of the Lord upon us, that we might be revived. May be able to know it is the Lord this evening. May be able to know, Lord, that thou art with us. Oh, do convey unto us that love of Christ which passeth knowledge. We desire, Lord, to pray for Zion still. Seek, Lord, that thou art returned, thou art remember us. Every burden and care, Lord, do grant we may know the burden bear, and Zion may know the Lord reigneth, with sweet evidence that we may be able to say the Lord hath been mindful of us. Thus, Lord, forgive. Help us now. We do pray, Lord, for our sovereign. Seek for her that true grace of God with ourselves. Oh, that we may be able to pray for those lost loved ones, and our desire is that there might be sanctifying grace attending every loss. Do help us, Lord, to pray for the return of the Holy Spirit in the churches, in our land. And Lord, what can we say? Do hold back the dreadful pandemic with thy love and mercy. And we desire to thank thee for thy goodness, but Lord, may we be humbled. We pray, Lord, that thou art come now and remember the dear friends at Swaversea and those that are able to listen. We pray that thou art remember each one, and do come, Lord, now. May we not be swallowed up with anything else but with a sweet knowledge of the Saviour, that we may be able to be found looking unto Jesus. We do count it a privilege, but we do need thee, Lord, to come. Seek that thou receive us now in that worthy prevailing name on high, that prevailing name of Jesus. Well, we believe we've known something of that sweetness of his name, but we need it still. And do remember any that are cast down. Remember the deacons, each one, and remember those that are seeking thee too. Hear us, Lord, for the young ones, little ones. And we pray that maybe the blessing of the Lord towards Zion and those that especially lay in our hearts, that they may have that top stone laid in their hearts by grace. And we pray that they may be able to come and say, it is the Lord. Pray that thou come now, Lord, and help us to be thinking of the great matter of eternity. Prepare us well. Leave us not, Lord, without that blessing of the Holy Spirit in the light and knowledge of eternity. So we ask, Lord, that thou come and wake up where we fail. Be drawing near, Lord, and grant we might be sweetly renewed in the evening hour. We might know, Lord, a little lifting up, help of God toward us. We do ask in that worthy prevailing name, seek, Lord, that thou pardon all amiss. We ask in Jesus' name with forgiveness of sins. For Christ's sake, amen.
Our next hymn is 812. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way, to tell my dubious state. Then listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. Hymn 812.
by the help of God, I would direct you to the Gospel according to St. Luke. St. Luke's Gospel, from chapter 18. Chapter 18. Let me read especially from the first verse. Especially from the first verse. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We may make mention of those verses that follow, but you know, my mind has gone to this part. Seems as if there's some leading of the Lord. We would seek the Holy Spirit's help. It does seem that it's a wonderful thing that the Lord speaks in his word here in parables for those that are seeking their way to Zion. Indeed, many, many years ago, I think when I first came, perhaps one of my first visits to Swaversey, I preached in this text, Luke 18, verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, and it returns on my mind. I believe I said something like this, that it is because of Christ, friends. That's it. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Also, many different ways we could look at the Word of God and the Trinity of Persons and the way in which the Lord may open his book. But it's him that spoke the parables, friends, we need, with such authority that they might be laid in our hearts. The subject matter here is God-given prayer. He spake a parable unto them to this end. How needful. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You may notice that we read from Genesis 25. Well, my mind was going to that part when we read Rebecca. You'll anticipate me. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. She was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. Now, I like that. Same sentiment, isn't it? Men are always to pray. And I was thinking, friends, that there may be some daughters of the Lord that may say, well, is there anything for me? I hear much about the sons of Jacob. And I find a great longing desire that I might be found among the Lord's people. But am I truly a daughter of Abraham? One of those that might be taken up by the Lord himself. Well, friends, I want to direct you the way my thoughts have been led. We have it in the way of Isaac entreating, praying. Who are these that we read about that seek the Lord? Men ought always to pray. Friends, they're praying sons and daughters. That's who they are. And also, they haven't had any prayer or breath in them but for the Holy Spirit. But there is a desire, which is so weak, that there are those things that God only can do for them. They need the Lord to confirm that he's begun with them, or that he is with them perhaps, especially that we have in this sweet account of that exhortation to prayer. Now may the Lord take it and lay it in the heart of his sons and daughters. We have it here regarding me. Exhortation, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I was thinking about it. It's the sweetest exhortation, but it's to characters. That these are such that are brought to the Lord in prayer. Behold, he prayeth. Or as we have thought of Rebecca, she went to ask the Lord. These characters, They never were praying souls until the Lord touched their hearts. They might have said their prayers, rightly so, but I'm thinking of that particular indicting of these poor cries. Entreaties. Lord, I cannot let thee go, except thou bless me. I don't need a portion. I don't need a token. I need the Lord to draw near, even this evening hour, and come and grant that peace which passeth all understanding when Jesus draws near. Oh, and peace by his blood, what a sweet theme that is. Oh, it is most needful, isn't it? And God's people that are praying their way along, they need peace in their hearts. Need the Lord to speak peace and say, it is I, be not afraid. Need the Lord to come and grant the Holy Spirit. That's a very important matter with me. Oh, the sweet witness of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit. We are sons and daughters of God. May the Lord command it, friends. There's life in that. And the Lord commands it. He was entreated of them, we read. All those years ago, I remember speaking from it. And it's the same gospel. Oh, the felt sense of unworthiness in that exhortation. They ought always to pray. Many days have passed since those far off days. I hope we know the throne of grace. It's coming among those. It's that they're drawn to the throne of grace. That's what they need. I was thinking about it earlier. There's one thing they need. The Lord at the throne of grace. Need the Lord to be near to them. From above the mercy seat. That especially was on my mind. Need the Lord to come above the mercy seat. And if we're rightly brought of God, as we have in these characters, it's mercy, like that prodigal, that publican we need. It's mercy. We might say, well, I do know that. Well, friends, we need to know it deeply. Mercy. Or may it be a sweet theme to us. Now, may it be an enduring theme. Without thy mercy, we would not live here. Sin soon would reduce us to helpless despair. But, you know, it's when the Lord maintains, keeps his people. It's by prayer. They're brought through many things, but they're taught that the sweet merits of the intercessor on high, that only he can reach their needs or can supply their wants. Now these things belong, as I say, to both sons and daughters of the Almighty. So it struck me that these words here, men ought always to pray, of the family of God, whose Father fills the throne. They are. Whence they know the throne of grace. That they know their unworthiness. And sometimes they wonder if they've ever prayed a prayer in their lives because of the hardness and the sense of desolation. But men ought always, it's the gospel. It gathers up these poor characters that need the Lord at the throne of grace. The men ought always. It speaks of the reality and the blessing of the throne of grace. I would seek to speak from it in our subject this evening. It's perhaps, what word is it this evening? It's going again to the throne of grace. It's seeking the Lord, pouring out your heart before him. Now, you may wonder that I was thinking in that chapter we have read Isaac entreating the Lord and so on. And it struck me that as we've read of Rebecca, we read the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebecca his wife conceived, and the children struggled. I was thinking, wondering, are those struggling in their own souls, or, putting it another way, carrying younger ones, older ones, that the Lord might touch their hearts, the Lord might sweetly bless them, characters that God will bless with his sweet word. Men are always to pray. It's that way of approach unto the Lord with travail. When I was young, the dear saints used to speak of travail, and I didn't know what it meant at all. This wonderful thing, friends, if you've got God-given prayer, especially for those that God will bless. I was reminded of it here in the chapter. The children struggled together within her, and Rebecca said, if it be so, why am I thus? Why am I thus? Well, perhaps we may speak of it as the travailing in prayer together with desires. But don't be ashamed to speak about it. I'm very strong on this. Friends, it is God-honouring for these souls that are born again to speak of the travailing of their souls. Or able to say, well, we do need the Lord to come and bless our little company, or those seeking souls, younger ones perhaps, they're in your heart. And we need to be lifted up above this spirit of, well, we have to be still and quiet and not do anything. Friends, there's a time to speak. Sometimes it's to one another. Sometimes it's to speak of that worthy name. If you can't speak of it, speak of the lowness of your poor unworthy name compared with his. That's how I would speak, friends. There's always something to speak about these dear characters. Men are always to pray not to faint. They've got things in their heart to bring to the Lord and to share sometimes. And not be ashamed to speak of them. I may be on ground that is not so popular with some, but I believe, friends, where the Lord has implanted grace, that there's a love for one another and a desire for the increase of the kingdom of God and for the Lord's rich blessing upon his word. Now, I do not intrude, but I believe where there's travail and desire, it can only be met in Christ Jesus. Oh, for the Lord to draw near, and the Lord to grant these seeking souls such a fullness that grace bestows, that their poor vessels might be filled up, and there was not a vessel more, we read. That's what we need in Zion. Those that find the know the vileness of their heart, but they don't leave it there. They say, oh, that I knew where I might find him. The dear Job. Perhaps say it together. Oh, the Lord, guide me, friends. I don't want to be left to myself. But sometimes there's a need to speak of that. Where we read of those that drew near, when Jesus drew near, and other characters. And the Lord honoured them in the ways of truth and grace. Well, I want to come again to our text. It's this pretty short word, isn't it? He spake a parable unto them to this end. Now what end is it? It's his end. For the establishing of these characters, for the answers that God alone could give. Have you got something? Need the Lord to perfect or perform something to do, you'll know the throne of grace. I don't know what I'm speaking about. The Lord began with me, and I didn't really know what was the matter with me. but had an aching void twice over, we might say. Oh, that the Lord might grant me the secret desire of my heart. I was coming home from work one day and it was so late in my heart to seek the Lord. And I found my little secret place coming home from work. And I was able to plead the Saviour's name. And the Lord said, my salvation is near to come. It's in Isaiah, isn't it? Now, friends, it did me good, you know. It quickened my heart. It brought me to the throne of grace in a very humble way. Lord, do fulfill my best desire to know the truth. I was on my own. The family were downstairs, but there's some things you don't forget, do they? Do you? When the Lord drew near, when this word is a living word. He spake a parable unto them that meant always to pray and not to faint. It's when the Lord grants enlargement of heart. When he grants that liberty, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. When he gives that prevailing cry, Lord, I cannot let thee go. Except thou bless me, it's me, Lord. And perhaps loved ones too. Now these things have gone over in my mind. Now the Lord help us this evening. Let me put it another way. Wonderful thing, if this word is set by God over against some terrible, great, dark, gloomy despair that God's people know all about, and this word is set over against some fiery trial, is to try them, or some, I was trying to speak about it, men ought always to pray, speak about it in another sense. That's going again and seeking, it's always a bit lower, you know. Go just as thou art. But then there's that seeking the Lord Most High, establishing, to approach the great I Am, the Lord on high. He waits to be gracious, not in a carnal way, but in a blessed way. He will yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And what about those burdens some of you have with the cause of God? Is it not that the Lord himself might graciously undertake? That's another character, isn't it? Men ought always to pray, dear Jehoshaphat. And dear Hezekiah too, Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. These characters, now there's the sons and daughters as well. The daughters, and strangely, they're appointed such a sweet place. God's word, in touching the garment, the hem of his garment, and if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That they're accorded such sweet encouragement. There may be issues in that sense of defilement of sin. And they do need him. Now the Lord, friends, draws these characters. He draws them to the throne of grace. For men ought always to pray. So he gives the true grace of God. This is the true grace of God wherein you stand. At the throne of grace. Now these words are very sacred. That to this end, what a good end it is. It's glory, isn't it? Really, it's salvation. And it's that great petition to be answered. This end, ask what thou wilt, it shall be done. Now, we speak about it, friends, by the sanctifying effect, God's grace in the heart. This end, men are always to pray, and there's much experimental truth in it. It takes a long trial, perhaps, to bring us truly, to humble ourselves. It brings us very low sometimes to be a seeker. Men are always to pray. is overset, as I say, over against some great trouble, some gloomy fear. One of those fears beholds is Jesus, holds the helm and guides the ship. It speaks about spreading the sails and catching the breezes. Oh, the Lord, help us so to do. The men are always to pray and not to faint. So much in it to this end that there's a promise in it. Men are always to pray, not to faint. Well, what is the essence of it? It's the way the Lord teaches his people, the sweet merits of the Saviour. And let us look at the teaching of the Lord for a moment. There was in the city a judge, he feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow. So he's one of those daughters of Abraham here. The widow in that city, I know it's in a parabolic sense, but I think you'll bear with me. And she came unto him, to this earthly judge. As we're coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. But we have to be on mercy's ground. We have to have no confidence in the flesh. We'd have to say, Lord, I'm the most unworthy of all. It's this brokenness of heart that God brings his people to. They've got much when the Lord brings them to Sinai. They certainly haven't got much when they come to Calvary. Oh, the sweetest truth of it, friends. He breaks these hearts with his rich love, and their hearts are quickened in love. How they love him then. But they need the Lord to keep him. They need the Lord to keep them so much, fearing to be cast off because of their unworthiness, when as if the Lord takes away a little his sweet constraint of his love. How we begin to sink. We begin to get so low. But men ought always to pray. See, the application is in every condition. Many sweet hymns about it. It's going again, and it's proving him, isn't it? Now, how it stands out to me, men ought always to pray not to faint. And this is the sweet teaching of the Saviour himself. He's praying. As he speaks and speaks to thee, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? There was in the city a judge, which feared not God, and so on. And a widow, a broken widow in that city. The teaching of it is that she was destitute. She was in a great loss of trial. And she went to the earthly judge and said, avenge me of mine adversary. And the teaching of it is this, is to go again. Not to the earthly judge, but to the Lord himself. Some of you know what I mean. Now, sometimes the Lord sends a sweet word. And what's the effect of it? It brings you to the throne of grace. It brings you to call upon him. Or to press your case, as it were. I think they speak about it in law courts, don't they? About pressing their case and so on. Well, that's how I would seem to speak about it, friends. Press your case at the feet of Jesus and plead his worthy name. Now, some may say, well, it's not as easy as that. I'm not speaking about easy things. What I'm speaking about, friends, is having to go out of necessity, importunity, in that need of a Saviour, a great one, or with healing in his wings, both naturally but then spiritually. This one that is proclaiming the sweetest parable as the greatest grace to give. He doesn't hold back, but we do need our hard hearts subdued. We need the Lord to teach us and help us to continue in prayer. And the Lord gives an exercise of heart, friends. It is known by that exercise the Lord gives. I hope I know what I'm speaking about. But I do, by grace. It's a heavy burden, a great trial, your faith. And it seems as if the Lord doesn't answer. But men ought always pray. What a sweet encouragement there is, no matter how great the trouble, many of the burdens perhaps, but one particular great matter is sin. How it lays low the Lord's people. And they cannot go to the judge of the earth. None but the King of Kings can help them. They need the Lord on high to help them to begin to approach. Begin to fear before him. But I'm speaking of true exercise of heart. There's life, friends. And it's this sometimes. It's so exceedingly trying to continue. And yet the Lord come with a sweet word. Might be this evening. And there's such a little life in it. That's what this is about. It's life, isn't it? And always to pray not to faint. Those that are faint, in a very low way. Your poor hearts are low naturally, but I want to speak a bit in regard to spiritual things. Men are always to pray not to faint. Well, that's the thing nearest to us by nature. I was thinking about it. Friends, we do not begin to pray without the Holy Spirit. And then perhaps there's an application here. It's that praying unto the Lord, seeking hard unto him, and always to pray not to faint. Maybe time to speak of it like this. And always to pray not to faint. It's this fainting, isn't it? That may particularly be a great matter. When will the Lord appear? And the Lord come? No. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. I want to speak from this parable. The Lord help me to bring it to you, friends, in the gospel, as if there's no need to fear, or there's every cause to hold on your way, or there is that sweetest encouragement to press on, the crowds will fly. If thou faint, Jesus fly, he will send supplies. In another sense, as if these fainting souls, somehow they're sweetly sustained. You know, they fear and faint, and yet they're upheld. They're brought to know their God reigneth, the Lord reigneth. One said, blessed be my rock. Now another sense is this. They need not to pray in such a way as they may fear to be left out. Rather to hasten unto him in every trial and every affliction, perhaps in a particular sense. It's this, isn't it? It's chastening. Chastening, therefore, prize, privilege of a saint. What can we say about it, friends? The rod is for the child, isn't it? In another sense, it is that the Lord might grant such a sweet token of his everlasting love. All that spirit again comes in my mind. It is that continuing not to faint, but seek hard unto the Lord. For who can tell? That the Lord may be gracious Lord, may grant, perhaps, if today he blesses us, maybe a knowledge of the trial of your faith, and the sense is this, it's that continuance, long continuance, seeking the Lord to guard me with a little sweet comfort, his love, and not always to pray not to faint. Well, look at it in this way, friends. It's a short verse, isn't it? There's so much in it. It's because the Lord is on high. I want to look at it in another sense, because the Lord is near to those that faint, those that have no helper, those that have no access, those that have no nothing in themselves to bring, no commendation of the creature. But there's that exhortation to pray again. Go again seven times. It's pressing onwards, pressing toward the mark for the prize and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I like that. Men ought always to pray. May the Lord help me to speak about this regarding the leading of the Lord. Men ought always to pray not to faint. It's this, if you bear with me, it's that sweetest consideration to leave your burden with the Lord, or in another sense, casting your care upon him. But it's this, isn't it? It's what the Lord will yet do, what the Lord will be pleased to do to those who know not which way to take, know not what to do, but their eyes are upon thee. They seem to go from one particular trial to another, and then they're brought right through to feel to know that the Lord is with them. Help me, Lord, helping me to speak of it. I want to notice it in the chapter here. Look closer. Chapter 18. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, I fear not God, nor regard man. Many like that. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. So there's something seems to catch hold of me here, that the Lord will be pleased to remember his praying poor. And then this widow, she heard these words, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, I fear not, but the Lord heard that, nor regard man. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. What does the Lord say? Hear what the unjust judge said. What does it mean to you this evening? Is there some harsh comment? Is there something that really tries your heart, that's made soft? And then it's rent perhaps with some trouble, sorrow. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. We trusted it had been he. Why this sudden trial? Friends, men ought always to pray not to faint. It's according to the leading of the Lord to lead these characters in the right way, and he led them forth by the right way. Like God, a city of habitation. I may have spoken something about that recently. Now it's this that occupies my mind. Hear what the unjust judge said. What have you heard? Maybe things that try your heart, sir. Hear what the unjust judge said. Now, Lord, help me to speak from such a word as this. And shall not God avenge? It means, shall he not appear? Shall he not regard? Shall he not grant a recompense? If you've got trouble with the law of God and the condemnation of it, the Lord lead you to Calvary. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? It means that they're often reminded of their sin and their guilt, and they at times wonder if they know it enough. Other times they feel they need the Lord to teach them what they do know something of, but they're concerned they don't know what they ought to know. Friends, it's that trial of your faith. Shall not God avenge? What a word it is. Shall he not look upon it? Shall he not recompense in his time? We need this in Zion. Will not the Lord attend to the cries and the desires of those that truly fear God? It's his time, isn't it? His way. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? No, the expression of it is this, of some long, enduring trial that seems to get worse, perhaps. Seems to get out of all course. Shall not God avenge his own elect? Now, these characters, secretly, they're making their way to the throne of grace. Lord, thou knowest all things. Undertake for me. Remember poor Zion. Perhaps it's Zion, or perhaps it's something else, but seem that it's a good word. These characters, they believe the Lord can hear them, but they're troubled whether they're worthy or not. Friends, the only worthiness you need is his worthiness. Sweet truth, isn't it? We're all unworthiness. All undone. Shall not God avenge? Attend. Shall he not appear? I know what I'm speaking about. Those that for the oppression of the poor and the sign of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety, him that puffeth at him. Puffeth at him. Well, it's not only the enemy, it's those that may be contemptuous. Well, the Lord help me to lift him up. He that is the author of salvation. He that is sweetly exalted in his sweet word. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust just said. Well then, does it not lead us to hear what the Lord of life and glory says? That's what poor Zion needs. What the Lord says about it. Hold up my going, said one in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. He led them forth by the right way. No, it's this. It's when the Lord takes the matter in hand. When the Lord says, bring him unto me, or whatever it is, bring it unto me. Lay your load at Jesus' feet. Tell him that knows everything. Pour out your heart before him. Tell him, and the matter is, he knows all about it, but he will be inquired of. Hear what the unjust judge said. I want to speak wisely, friends. It's this, it's his word that matters. He was just the last word. It's his truth that prevails. Was it not so in your call by grace? Did not the Lord prevail? Did not the Lord call you by his grace to know the riches of his love? Well, he's the same, isn't he? But oh, in the sweet sense, friends, now, to the people of God, he is their salvation in a very sweet way. My all is bound up in the Lamb, said one. Is that one they can tell him and wait upon him? And even patiently wait and to seek him until the Lord takes up the burden or the prey and grants his people that rest in the Lord. Now that's what we need, that out to rest, the rest of the Lord. Wait patiently for him. These things come on my mind. Friends, it's this long, hard trial and trouble. It's nothing with him. Everything to you. Hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge his own elect? It means, friends, his time is ever before him. He's never behind, you know. Hear what the unjust judge said. Now it may be in providential things. Maybe things that concern you, younger ones even. Shall not God avenge his own elect? Something to learn. It's this. It's trust in him where you cannot trace him. It is to wait until the Lord appears. Now I want to look at it in the gospel. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry him day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. How long? Well, friends, it's time, isn't it, that's in his hand. It's all according to his holy will. Jesus himself knew what he would do. Let me put it in another sense. It's this patience. You have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you might inherit the promises. Word there, after you've done the will of God. I hope none are saying, well, I'd be ever so obedient, I would be ever so blessed and be able to tell people about it if the Lord did his part. If the Lord was to grant me enlargements and forgiveness. Well, friends, I tell you where you need to be, and that's at the cross of Jesus for him. Can't get lower than being low at his feet. And so plead what he has done. The Lord leads his people sweetly to Calvary. And their hearts are so softened they can't believe it. Their poor hearts are renewed. But it's by the love of God. You know, that mends hearts, doesn't it? And it brings the soul to say, let the Lord be everything. And I will seek for grace to bow beneath his will. I will attend to it by the Lord's sweet power. And then the Lord tries it all. But friends, don't be ashamed of this. That it is time to seek the Lord. I think there's something wrong if we say, well, of course we'll do this when the Lord helps us to pray. Well, we need help to pray, but it's this humbling and it's this brokenness of heart, and even by the oppressor. But shall not God avenge his own elect? By day and night unto him. Though he bear long with him. What's it mean? The trial of your faith. Or, in another sense, the Lord will perfect that faith that he gives. It will be waiting upon him. And there'll be that deliverance in his time. A little further. I tell you the words of the Lord. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, I differ from those that say that it is the Lord to grant me help to pray or I'll leave off. No, friend. He draws a chosen race and he teaches them how to pray. And the object of their desire is bound up in this. If they can have him, they've got everything. The object of their desire is this. They might know him and power his resurrection. And be made conformable to his death. And he leads them gently especially thinking of the truth of it regards to Calvary. And that solemn place where the Lord leads his people, and friends, their hearts be softened then. Sin will be subdued then. Life will abound through his death. He gives more grace. When he comes, he makes the crooked places straight, the rough places plain. And that path that was so crooked, it becomes the path you bless God for if the Saviour is made known. And going forth to Calvary, it's the deeper sorrows of him that was crucified between those thieves. And friends, how sweet that truth is in regard to the word of his grace, that he forgives sins there. It's in the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. It's that way the Lord makes that goodness pass before him. We sing sometimes. It's in his precious blood and righteousness. It's in that way the Lord, he takes these sins, he leads them on. Takes them by the right hand sometimes. Fear not, I will help thee. He leads them on fair Zion's road, the weary, weak and faint. But they ne'er shall lose their God, nor God they'll lose a saint. But we'll have to lose something, because that's our own sufficiency. That's our own goodness. Worthiness. But you know, it's when the Lord makes it up, and that's what it's about here. When the Lord comes, when the Son of Man cometh, do you know what it is? When the Lord comes, when he puts it right in a moment, a small moment have I forsaken thee, great mercies will I gather thee. He comes, friends, sometimes at evening late, but he still comes. Now the matter is this, it's when the Lord manages it, when the Lord sits above it, in that sense, the Lord reigneth. I was thinking about the chapter, and we'll soon leave it, but I was wondering whether to speak from it indeed. So I must just direct you to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. I was thinking today of fainting souls and those that are at the ends of the earth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, sons of Jacob, and speakest thou, Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Oh, the sweet remembrance. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. And this is it. He fainteth not. If you see the connection, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, there's one here. He giveth power to the faint. It briefly came on my mind this morning. And it's returned. He giveth power to the faint. What a sweet word. Power belongeth unto God. And it's that sweet truth as it is in Jesus. He giveth power to the faint, them that have no might, increases strength. I like that. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. Again we have it, but they that wait upon the Lord. Like that woman waiting. Shall not God avenge his own elect? Lord, hasten it, friends. The things that in my heart desire the Lord may appear in. Shall not God avenge his own elect? Give power to the faint that can't pray anymore. And them that have no might at all. Increase his strength. Where in God? Certainly in the atonement. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Well, perhaps some of you know what that is. but they that wait upon the Lord. What a sweet word it is. Men are always to pray, not to faint. That's waiting on the Lord. They shall renew their strength. Often said, it doesn't mean they renew their God. It's God that renews them. And they'll be able to lay hold upon him. Plead that worthy name. But there is a sense of laying hold and waiting upon the Lord as those dying sinners are brought and seek, perhaps in a line of a hymn, a sweet fullness. Much grace to bestow. He giveth power to the faint. Much in my text. Men ought always to pray not to faint. Giveth power to the faint. And them that have no might, he increases strength. You shall fain be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord, it's as if it's doubled, isn't it? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I know we may repeat these words, but friends, I think every word is so full of God's grace that we need it made over to us. It's this sweetness in his name, isn't it? With they that wait upon the Lord, to renew their strength. When the Lord appears, if I know anything, friends, strength is renewed. Perhaps in the course of life, but especially at the throne of grace. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. This is the faith's sweet exercise in the things of God. They shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I must leave a few things shortly. So that is what has been on my mind. You spoke of parable. Now if it's in a parable, so much more, friends, in the sweetness of the gospel is grace, endorsed by the one that lives. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. May the Lord help us thus to continue. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, that we bear long with them? I tell you, I don't think any can say that like the Lord can. I tell you. Will there be an answer to it this evening? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well is the exhortation for the desire for the increase of it, but also, friends, it's very rare, isn't it, today? Should we find faith on the earth? The Lord increase our faith and bring in his dead elect. And may we be able to hold fast. Many things may try our hearts. Let's leave a few thoughts. May the Lord forgive all spoken amiss. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day, morning and afternoon, and Mr. Timothy Barker on Wednesday evening next week. Our closing hymn is 864. Holy Ghost, inspire our praises, touch our hearts and tune our tongues. While we laud the name of Jesus, heaven will gladly share our songs. Hosts of angels, bright and glorious, while we hymn our common King, we'll be glad to join the chorus and the Lord himself shall sing. Hymn 864.
Thank you.
O Lord, to teach us how to pray at the end of the service. May Jesus be Christus. Come, Lord, thyself. Subdue our sin and unbelief. Raise us up. Cause thy voice to be heard. Thy grace to be known. Hear us in our great desires for thy appearing. For Zion and for thy people that are in thy hand. Pray that thou remember us, Lord, in our own need of that healing touch. And we do bear before thee, my dear friends, thou sweetly uphold them, bring them through, and may the Lord be precious in all their affliction he was afflicted. Pray that thou forgive all amiss. Remember each one and those that are able to listen in too. Now we ask all in Jesus' name with the forgiveness of sin. Now may the grace of Christ our Saviour and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favour rest upon us from above. Amen.